Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, back in 2020, the nation fell in love with 8-year-old Saoirse Ruan when she appeared on The Late Late Toy Show. And then we were all invested in Saoirse, and we followed her progress through her cancer. And then we all mourned when she passed away on March 5th, 2024. In the wake of her loss, Saoirse's mum, Rosanna, has created An Evening with Rosanna Ruan, which is taking place this Saturday night, a heartfelt event aimed at bringing people together to share their experience of grief and hopefully find some comfort in community. And Rosanna joins us now. Good afternoon, Rosanna.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, thanks for coming in. So you learned about grief the hard way, I suppose. And what's going to happen on Saturday evening when people come to An Evening with Rosanna? What do you hope will happen?
What I hope is that when people come into this space, that they will walk away feeling more seen. They won't feel as lost on their journey of grief. It's a tricky one. It's complicated. It's, you know, it's very misunderstood.
Mm.
And I suppose what I'm trying to do here is break the taboo and open it up to people to talk more about grief and be more accepting of it. So I think, you know, from talking to people on our social media, there's people that are feeling very alone in their grief and a bit lost. And by coming on Saturday evening, I'd like them to walk away feeling heard and seen.
Yeah. And even your husband, Ollie, said that you were grieving differently, the two of you.
Yeah.
But both of you were there, obviously, for Saoirse through her illness. And then when she passed away, it affects people differently and at a different pace, I would imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. And fortunately, so far, you know, when we've had triggers or when maybe he'd be having a bad day or I'd be having a bad day, they're never at the same time, thankfully. So he's my support system and vice versa. And it could be something simple. Lately, trying to find something on Netflix to watch. You could put on something, you could be through course of a way into something and something could happen, like someone might lose their life or something like that. I could find that very triggering and he'd know. He'd be very cued into that and we'd just turn it off or change the channel and little things like that. So,
And the 1-year anniversary was just in March.
Yeah.
So how was that?
That was difficult. You're nearly in one sense reliving it all over again. You have flashbacks. I suppose you're constantly bringing yourself back to, well, this time last year we were here and this time last year this was happening. This time last year, we were driving her to her garden. It was harder. And someone once said to me that you'll meet all the milestones, the firsts in the first year, but you actually don't. You'll be the rest of your life meeting them.
Yeah, because you're in a small enough community.
Yeah.
And Saoirse would have had contemporaries, friends, school friends.
Yeah.
And I would imagine you will see them doing all the things that Saoirse should be doing.
Yeah, so we've had a few of those
like what?
Hard days. Mm. The day she would have started secondary school.
Yeah.
We were very aware that there was children around the area going to the same school or other schools and it was fantastic and we were delighted for them. But you couldn't help but think that we should be on our way down to collect her after her first big day in school to see how did it go.
Mm.
Are you happy with your locker? Did you see any nice boys? You know.
What? Because have you read about grief or you just lived it?
No, this is my experience with it.
Yeah. Because I wonder what the experts say about that. You know, that exactly, that you're looking at, particularly when a child dies or passes, that you're looking at their friends and you're seeing them grow and blossom and do first year, junior cert, leaving cert, university, job, marriage, all those things.
Yeah. I don't know, Ray.
You can't be prescriptive, I suppose.
No, there's no manual.
No.
You're very much, you go on this journey, not by choice, and you figure it out. And it's like carrying a backpack. Some days it's really heavy and some days it's lighter.
Mm.
The triggers will always come. You know, we might see someone that resembles her. That would just stop you in your tracks. Like you just can't help it. You can be very overcome with your emotion. Yeah, so.
This is probably an impossible question to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The fact that it was so public, you know, because Saoirse was catapulted into our hearts, I suppose, through the Late Late Toy Show. Yeah. Like over 1 million people watch it. So, and anybody who didn't watch it, they heard about Saoirse. They would watch clips on social media. So everybody knew her.
Yeah.
So you can't get away from that. Is it,
no.
Do you ever think what would it have been like if that didn't happen? That if you had to do what you had to go through privately?
I don't, because no. I suppose
that was
this is the way
yes,
it is.
Yeah.
At the time, we didn't realise what the toy show was going to do. You know, we didn't realise how big her name was going to become in households in Ireland and further afield. I do remember thinking, I think I'm going to close down this social media platform that we have. And then I remember she had her appearance on the toy show, and then it was people wanted to interview her after that. And you remember it was the first COVID toy show, so nobody knew what to expect. And I remember saying to Ollie, I can't just turn my back on people, because when we started this journey, we didn't do it publicly. Saoirse had gone through her chemo and her amputation. And it was when we thought Saoirse was on the way back up, you know, through her recovery, and she was going to be okay. We started to come on our page and talk about it. And I suppose we never dreamt for 1 minute that she was going to relapse and it was going to just go from worse to worse. Mm. And people were invested at that stage. So I always felt we were very open and honest on our page. We always brought everyone along, and that's what we just
did. So you thought that she was out of the woods, so to speak. She was...
We always knew statistic-wise that we were playing with fire, okay. That she was never really going to be out of the woods. Like, you know, the first diagnosis was very rare and life-threatening. But we knew that if she got a secondary, that it wasn't going to be good.
Okay.
And she got it in the lung.
In the lung, yeah. And then it came
and
back.
And they did
the
what
lung,
they could do. Yeah. You know, they took a piece of her lung, reconstruction, resection. But when she relapsed in that same lung, we knew it was game over.
And that was nearly a year before she passed, was it?
So in May 22, she was diagnosed with it in the lung.
Yes, but it came back.
And then she relapsed 11 months later.
Yes, and that's when you had to have the really difficult conversation with the consultants.
Yeah.
And they said, we can't do any more.
No.
So it's palliative care.
Palliative care.
Yeah.
And when we asked that April... Well, I asked the question because I always had this, you know, when you have a child that's sick and you're going through the hospital system, you always have this need to know.
Mm.
You want time frames and all of that. So I remember thinking, well, how long have we? This was April. And he was very reluctant because they can be wrong and they don't want to lead you astray. And I just said to him, will we have her for Christmas? And he said, possibly not.
Right.
Now we had her till the following March. She was remarkable.
Yeah. And you mentioned first year, and that was important because you had gone to the secondary school, put her name down. So I suppose she was planning for things that you knew would never happen.
Yeah. That was the only way to do it. It was the right way by us. She had to live her life as any child would be allowed. And she didn't need to know of what was ahead. What good was that going to do? Let her live her little life and be happy with her friends. She'd gone through enough. So she went to the school, the only one school that she wanted to go to. We went to the open evening and we walked through every room with her. Very difficult. And we watched her as she skipped and laughed and giggled and had fun with her little mates from national school. And then she got the acceptance and she was absolutely delighted. And... That day never came.
Mm. I remember somebody saying that in a family where there is a cancer diagnosis, oftentimes it's the person who's got the diagnosis that is the strongest.
Absolutely. Yeah, she carried us. She still is. I really believe that. People often say, how are you so strong? And I don't take it as an insult. I just... take it as a compliment, and I say, you know, someone's sending us strength and we're thankful for it. And I believe Saoirse, she was so determined, so resilient. Maybe it was what she didn't know, and she kept us going.
Mm. Do you have faith?
I do, Ray.
Yeah.
but I've pressed pause on it.
Right.
I find the church really hard place to go to. I find I can't contain my emotions. Her funeral, her month's mind, and then I've spoken before about the graduation mass. It was the most moving ceremony, but it absolutely broke me in two. The way her friends remembered her and celebrated her that day. And it was at the end of the mass after communion when each of her friends stood up and held up a letter representing her name. They held up the S, they held up the A, and I knew where it was going. And I wasn't able to contain my emotion that they were thinking of her so highly. And then I had to go up and accept her cap and her folder and stand along by her friends. And
so this was sixth class graduation.
Her. Yeah.
And that's happening now, you know, that's all over
yeah.
the country.
Yeah, we're a year later now. Yeah. yeah. It was beautiful, but and the school were just amazing and they still remember her to this day. But I just find when I go into that place, I don't know, is it because of the quietness? Because it used to be a safe net for us. We used to often go to Clonfert Church, where Our Lady of Clonfert is. Here she had great faith in her. And we used to pray to her, and many important conversations were held there between Ali and Saoirse about life and heaven, nearly in a way of preparing her, but not making her any the wiser. So for now, I just have my own way of doing it, but I just find stepping into the church is very, I feel very vulnerable.
Right. And do you think that Saoirse is gone to someplace? That's a difficult question to answer.
No, I can only think that she's there and she's waiting.
Right.
I see her looking back all the time, smiling. That's when I picture her. I see her smiling at me saying, "You've got this, Mama."
Looking over her shoulder.
Looking back, leading the way, walking through big, high grass.
Yeah.
And I see her happy and I see her there. And anyone that is unfortunate to lose someone that I might know about, I will always say, well, I hope Saoirse's at the gate waiting for them. Mm. And they find great comfort in that.
Jenny's dad died and they were very close. And if we go into a parking lot and there's a space just there, Jenny goes, "Thanks, Dad." You know, it's like he's watching over and he's getting her the free parking
spot. Yeah,
you know?
That's but you have to be careful too, not to take advantage. You know, I just say, God, I can't keep sending the requests into Saoirse now. She'll get exhausted. You know.
Yeah. So families and will come together on Saturday night, and you are there, and you have a number of guests, and all of the guests have had their own experience of grief, and they all, well, some of them bring expertise as well in how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And you, this is part of your, I suppose, healing, is it, organising these events?
Yeah, I suppose I felt that with the platform that we have, what could I do to, I don't know, help people open up more about grief, explain to people what it's really like. You know that saying of, you know, if you walk a day in my shoes, it's so true. People are privileged to walk around every day, you know, a lot of people, not everyone, and not have a care in the world, or maybe their worries are very small. And then there's people that have lost someone and their life has changed permanently. There's no end date when you lose someone. That's part of life now forevermore. So I just wanted to do something with the reach that we had. And I decided, you know, it'd be nice to bring people into a room and have an evening where initially I thought we'd talk about Saoirse. But then I thought, no, why not talk to people who have been through this? All walks of life, you know, whether they have had the loss of a relationship, maybe they've lost someone in their life. So this weekend, I'm speaking to the lovely Rachel Gorey about the loss of her husband, Daniel. I'm speaking to Aidan Lucknan, who's a mental health advocate, about the loss of his own brother to suicide. And I'm speaking to Kelly Fennell, who's in the fitness industry, and she talks about her own journey with grief. And also we're very lucky to have Stephanie Rainey, who is a fantastic musician and singer, and she'll talk about the loss of her nephew.
And she wrote that beautiful song about that, "Please Don't Go."
Yeah, it's stunning. Yeah. It's stunning.
You've had one of these already in January. I'm interested to know how the chat went and what are the shared experiences of people?
It was a very relaxed environment. I'm no professional by any means and I'm no expert. I'm basically facilitating and bridging the gap between the people I invite to speak and the people that want to come to listen. And we had the lovely Gerry Hussey in January, and that was a fabulous conversation because Gerry talked about how you have to accept your grief in order to move forward. I know a lot of us probably try to turn to something. Maybe we try to ignore it, hide away from it. We can't really deal with it, but he was advising that, you know, once you accept it, you can move forward with it. And a lot of people took a lot from what he said on the night. And the feedback then, we had a meet and greet at the end of the night, and we had a lot of people that stopped by, and there was lots of tears. There was one woman who couldn't put her words together. I had a lady who had a child who was born with multiple issues, and she came to me and said that she was grieving the child that she thought she would have. That's just something that she was struggling with. I had another woman who came to me and said that she was having a difficult time with her child. She didn't want to go into it, but, you know, and then you had the people that, I had a lady whose husband was very ill at the time and has since passed. I think people are coming for hope, for healing, that they might.
And what about people around grief? You know, because we hear constantly about us Irish, and we're great at funerals. We're really good at funerals. But a number of people have said to me that maybe we're not so good at the after the funeral bit.
No, it stops like everything else. People are great initially for the first few days, maybe the first few weeks, and then they go back to the day-to-day stuff. Like for me, I found it very hard to think that somebody passed away in her bedroom in our house, and a day later the bin man drove down the road. The postman was out doing his calls. Someone said to me before, how dare the sunshine? Saoirse just died. But life goes on, and it's very hard to get your head around that.
And what would you say to people who are around grief, not grieving, but around grief? What do you think is the best way to approach it?
Okay, so you're saying like people that are a bit unsure of
say people who are in a locality and they know that somebody has died tragically, you know,
yes.
Because oftentimes if it's somebody in their, you know, 80s, 90s or whatever, they've had a good life, etc.
Yes.
But in your, like if it's a tragic death.
Yeah. Well, firstly, can I say that our community was amazing.
Yeah.
Our community, Kiltulla, Kilmardaley and the neighbouring Bolan were absolutely fantastic and couldn't have done enough for us. But what I would say is that as time goes on, we're still in that house. We're still grieving. We're still missing that person. My sister said to me before, you go home to the empty house or to that someone missing. I would say send a text. Just a text that says, just checking in. You're not expecting a reply. You're not putting pressure on the person. You're not looking for the latest update. You're letting them know that you're there. And then they can respond. I would say leave a brown cake on the wall or a cooked dinner. Because for us, I remember afterwards, never mind think about cooking a dinner, but to think about what you were going to eat that day was just too much. And there was dinners left and they were just, it was amazing. We could freeze stuff and it was brilliant.
And Rosanna, do you like talking about Saoirse?
Oh, yeah.
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 See, people don't know that.
Yeah. I'd like to think that people think, you know, I like to talk about Saoirse, but it's not like, God, does she ever get sick of listening to herself? It's not that. But why wouldn't I talk about Saoirse?
No, I'm keeping her memory alive.
Oh, my God, it's so important.
Yes.
And if someone doesn't bring her up in a conversation, I'm nearly like, oh, I wish they did.
Yeah.
We had my mum and my dad's 50th wedding anniversary in March, and it was so beautiful and great to get to that stage. And my sister, who was kind of head of organising it, I suppose, they haven't really been asking me to do much, I suppose, because they've been like, leave her be now. She's fine, you know. She said to me before we went in for the meal, we've set an extra place at the kids' table. And I just thought, wow, that's huge, because you're thinking of her. And as the night went on and we had the dinner, the kids were like, I wonder what Saoirse's having over there now. And has she got the menu?
Yeah.
And it's lovely. And it shows, I suppose, how they're dealing with it as well and not forgetting her.
And her stuff, Saoirse's stuff, is still all over the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her room is untouched and her photos are all over the house. And that's something that people would have said too when they came through the house for the funeral, that, God, you're great for the photos. Some people just don't take the time. And I suppose they just think, oh, I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. And then when you come into a house like that where someone has passed, there's photos everywhere. People have told me that it give them the push to frame the photos and put them up on the wall.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So she's there. You sit down to watch the telly, she's there.
Everywhere. Ollie actually had a conversation with Farrah Rose yesterday evening. Every now and again, Farrah Rose will say...
What age is Farrah Rose now?
6.
Right.
Like even this morning, she got up and she said, I knew she was a bit flat. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, I miss Saoirse. She doesn't understand. She'd say, why did Saoirse have to die in real life? And she's comparing it to the movies, Disney.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. And how did you know that she died? She'd ask that a lot. How did you know? But how did you know she was dead?
Because at that age, they don't understand permanence.
No.
They don't understand that death is forever.
No. In Farrah Rose's eyes, it's the kiss of life should bring her back.
Yes.
So we would have said, well, the nurses that were there to help us and to guide us. And how did they know that she died? But, you know, we'll spend the rest of our lives trying to make sure she's okay and help her figure it out.
Yeah. And did Saoirse know she was dying?
No.
No.
Saoirse didn't know. And we're very okay with that. Saoirse was the most determined person. She got dressed every day. A pajamas day was very rare. If there was someone coming into the house, she'd be like, oh my God, I need to put on this or I need to put on that. And towards the end, even though there was family members requesting to see her, she was very much, no, I want to just be left, you know. She was very paranoid about the pumps that were attached to her for the pain that she had.
Because she was hitting puberty and everything that comes with that as a girl.
Yeah, yeah. And like, as much and all as it's very hard to talk about the injury, she went down to bed on Saturday for a nap. She thought it was just a nap. We just had to convince her to take a rest. And she never came out of that bedroom again. Yeah. So she never knew. She never knew that she was going to finish there.
And we were talking about keeping her memory alive, and the toy show appeal is very much part of her legacy.
Amazing.
Which is wonderful.
Amazing.
And she very much kick-started the whole thing.
She did. Yeah. I remember the day she was up for her audition and yeah. She was in one room and I wasn't allowed in, and I was thinking, is she going to talk to them? And they decided that, you know, she was so inspiring that they were going to start this toy show appeal. And we were actually in talks with Community Foundation Ireland only this week, because as you know, they created the Saoirse Ryan Transformational Grant,
yes,
which will be awarded to someone this year. And it's just amazing that they thought so much of her.
Yeah, and I've been out in a place, Ashley House. It's a really important place. It helps women who are addicts recover, but allows them to bring their young children with them.
Oh, wow.
And there on the grounds is a playground funded by the Late Late Toy Show appeal.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. It's amazing. The amount of children that are benefiting from it every year. It's something to be proud of in our country.
Okay. So how do people, if they want to get in, if they want to come along on Saturday night?
So the tickets are available on eventbrite.ie. You can just put in eventbrite.ie and search Rosanna Ruan.
And it's in the Glen Royal Hotel in Maynooth.
It's in the Glen Royal at 7 o'clock. And it'll be lovely. It'll be a lovely evening. And I know there are people that are worried, that want to come on their own and are nervous to come on their own. I'd say, please don't be nervous. We're all there on our own in our own way, and we look after everyone.
And would you write a book?
I'd love to.
Right. Okay. Well, because people say that that's therapeutic as well and healing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been in my head for a few years. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll talk to you again. Rosanna, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. Thank you.